Today, Brian Schmaderer is going to be sharing with us. Brian has been part of the church since he was born, and he has grown up within the church. He is has just completed his fourth and final semester of Bible college in Israel this past semester, and he is back with us, and we asked him if he would come and share with us his experiences over in Israel. He'll be graduating this week, so let's give a warm welcome to our own Brian Schmaderer.
I think that introduction was pretty necessary since I don't really look like a caveman anymore. I think you'll see in some of the pictures as I was about to hear with my beard. And when I cut my hair, I was about a little past my shoulders, and so I look a little different now. But the outward change is just a manifestation of the inward change. So, like Pastor Steve was saying, I've been going to Bible college the past 2 years and four separate semesters, and so you'll go through, you're either a first semester student, which would be the equivalent of a freshman, and then you kind of make your way to the fourth semester, and it feels like you're a senior since it's about the end of the program. And so it's been really exciting being a senior this last semester, and kind of seeing the second semester kids, the little sophomores, as you call them, and just being able to make relationships in another country is pretty awesome, too. And then also the country I was in is Israel, and when you open up your Bible, you're going to find something about that place in there, and so it's pretty awesome. I just wanted to give kind of a little testimony, because I'm going to be sharing mainly about Israel, but I have spent the last 2 years of my life in Bible college, and so I've been going to Marietta, and so I've gotten up here a few times to share with you about I'm going to Marietta again, and you've gotten to hear a lot about how I had to stay up all night and guard the facilities as a security, and how I've had to try and get there early to get the bottom bunk as opposed to the top bunk. And so it's been fun. I never did get the bottom bunk until this semester, which was funny because they were assigned, so it wasn't like I got a choice in it anyways. But I just wanted to give a little bit of testimony as to how I came to Bible college and kind of the place I was at before, and really just kind of share what the Lord's been doing in my life and try and encourage you. And like Pastor Steve was praying, inspire, really, I hope. And so in the last year of my high school year, when I was an actual senior, I had started off and I wasn't really walking with the Lord. And like Pastor Steve shared, I had grown up in the church, and so like everyone else, I'd gone into Sunday school, and I'd gone to the services when I was old enough, and I'd been going to youth group, and my heart wasn't there. And that is always going to be one of the biggest factors, is where your heart's at, the place that your heart is in. And my heart was not following the Lord. I was going through the motions, and it was strictly a outward appearance thing. And so midway through my senior year, I had been going through the motions still. Nothing had changed. I was realizing that I wasn't going to be in high school forever. And the Lord brought about conviction in my heart one night. And it was weird, and it felt random, and it was instant. I mean, the Lord convicted me. Everything I'd been doing up until that point, the vanity of my life, God showed me, helped me to realize how silly and how foolish and the path that it was going down. And it was a path that led to nowhere. It was a path that I'm confident would have eventually led to hell. And so when he convicted me and when he stirred about that first love that we read about in Revelation, and I came back, it was I think it, for most people, it was incredibly noticeable. I went from not caring much about anything, really. I was pretty lazy and didn't have too many worries, and to being motivated as to what I wanted to do. I knew that the only thing that God would have for me for the next 2 years of my life would be Bible college, so that was pretty simple. It made it easy to graduate. I knew that from the influence I'd been before in throughout my high school years and to who I was now, it needed to be completely different. So instead of influencing people to be worse, because that was my state, was worsening, I needed to be influencing in a positive one that led towards Jesus and pointed towards Jesus and not towards the things of this world. And so I was able to start the Christian club and with the help of, you know, Michael and a few other people, get it started. And so that was awesome. And that was an incredible blessing. And that was where I was when I graduated. And so that was where I was at when I came into Bible college. And so Bible college was really fun and awesome and interesting and a huge time of growing, because a lot of the head knowledge that I grew up with going into youth group and Sunday school, I already knew about. You know, I knew the stories and I knew the concepts. And so the knowledge aspect was not the complete package that I got going to Bible college, because I knew a lot of it already. And so it was kind of just sharpening and strengthening, and I did learn a lot of stuff too. And it was really, the Lord was working on my heart the entire time, because I had set up all these different walls of not letting in a personal and intimate relationship with God that I'd never had before. And so now I was having to, the Lord was breaking down these walls and was starting to form in me a bond between myself and Him, and into this relationship that I was just beginning to experience and to be blessed by. And it's been awesome. And so that was my 3 semesters. There was so many amazing times. It was fun. Met so many awesome people. Made a lot of great friends. I'm really excited because I'm going to go up tonight, and they're having their last Sunday night chapel of the semester, and so I'm going to go spend time with a bunch of my friends and see them and go to that. So I'm really excited about that. And I had been talking to Pastor Steve my first 2 semesters a little bit about wanting to go somewhere, because Bible College has a ton of different affiliate campuses and associate campuses all over the world. I mean, everywhere. If you pick a continent, there's one on there, a country, and well, there's not in every country, but there's a lot, okay? And so I'd been talking about the best time to go for most people to get through credits and to be sure to graduate still is their 3rd semester. And so that's when a lot of people go, is their 3rd semester, because it lines up well with credits. You need a certain amount of credits to graduate. And so that's what I was planning on doing. I didn't know where I wanted to go, but I was going to go somewhere 3rd semester. And then 3rd semester came and went, and that didn't work out. I didn't get the ball rolling, and so I had 4th semester. I still knew I wanted to go somewhere, still had no clue where I wanted to go, what I wanted to do, where, you know, trying to spiritualize it somewhere. Where's somewhere the Lord's just calling me? You know, where am I supposed to go? And it didn't work out like that. My friend was super excited about going to Israel, and I was like, well, Israel sounds pretty cool, you know, it's as good as any a place. I mean, I'm studying about the place, and so that sounds like it would be great. And turns out it was great, and the Lord used it, and so that's where I went, and so that's what I'm going to be talking about mainly. Is there the slideshow? Okay, there it is. Israel going, being, and leaving. And that picture right there is pretty cool. It's on the Mount of Olives overlooking the old city. And that gold roof in blue is called the Dome of the Rock, and I'll be able to talk about that later. And it's a pretty awesome view, and that was pretty much the view I got to see very often the past 3 months, so that kind of gives a good preview as to my time there, because it was amazing. So I have this slideshow kind of sectioned off into three different sections. And so the first one is going to be going to Israel, because there's a girl, Tabea, and she lives in Switzerland. And so, and her parents, her dad's a pastor, a Calvary Chapel pastor, and her mom loves the Lord, and her brothers and sisters all know the Lord. And so she opened up her house to anyone that would want to come and spend, go like a week early and spend 5 days at her house, kind of going around, traveling, checking out Switzerland. So that sounded pretty amazing. And so I did that. And I went to Switzerland, and there's a group of about 12 of us that all went over, and their house, or her house, kind of, it wasn't so much wide, but it went up pretty high. And it was cool because in Switzerland, like when you imagine houses like going up high, you kind of imagine them like right next to each other, you know, like you'd think in the city. But in Switzerland, it's pretty awesome because they're like that, but they're not all right next to each other. They have their space, and it's really comfortable, and it's really enjoyable to live. I think it'd be really enjoyable to live there. There's a ton of snow when we got there. And so these are kind of different pictures. I'm going to be talking mainly about the different pictures. The one on the left is obviously in the plane, and then we visited a lot of different churches. There's tons of different churches in Europe, so many that I do not remember the name to any of them, because basically every church there just looks amazing, and it's always going to be like, you know, some saint's church or something like that, and they all look beautiful, and so that's what we saw. And then the river, that little stream on the lower right-hand side, is right behind her house. And so you go into the backyard, and it's all covered in snow. This was in February, and so the stream is going right through, and I wrote something on Facebook. I know I'm not friends with most of you on Facebook, but for those of you that are, I said, like, this is where all your wallpapers come from, is from Switzerland on your computer, because it's beautiful. I mean, everywhere you look, is if you took a picture of it, you should frame it, because it was really, really beautiful. And so, yes, I have different pictures. We rode the train a lot. Actually, the one on the right is a picture from the train. And they had this thing on the left-hand side. You can see like a horse, kind of. It's a smaller picture. In Switzerland, while we were there, they had this big festival called Fasnacht. And I actually didn't get to see what that meant. But it's a festival that they have, and it goes all throughout Switzerland, every town they visit, and they have a huge parade. Everyone dresses up. You walk around whatever city you're in, and there'll be little bands playing throughout the city, Swiss music, and there'll be people dancing, and there's a lot of great food. And so that was kind of a picture. The one on the right was the city that we were in. I think that was, it wasn't Zurich. It was, might have been Lucerne. But it was beautiful. So that, it just gives you another picture as to everywhere you looked. We got to meet a bunch of her friends. It was really awesome because they, in the church, like instead of Sunday school, they have this thing called Scouts. And it's basically like Boys and Girls Scouts, but it's within the church. And so it's kind of like, it acts as a Sunday school, but then it's an outdoor like Boys and Girls Scouts type thing. And so we met some of her friends. She'd made friends since she was Sunday school age to now, and all her friends loved the Lord, and it was really awesome. And so we went to their house, and the big picture right on the left is we went to their house, and they had it's this really cool thing. It's like a grill on top, and then at the bottom it melts cheese. And so if you've ever heard of Swiss cheese, that's what we ate, and that was amazing. And so we had bacon and then Swiss cheese, and Swiss food was really good. That was something else I could go on about for a while. And And so, yeah, there's the girl right in the middle in the gray shirt. That's Tabea. And then there's two of her friends on the right and left. And then we're kind of all around. This was in, where was this in? This might have been in Zurich, actually, because that was where the main train station was. That's also where the airport is. And so we were there for a day, kind of going around. It was pretty beautiful. And, okay, this is the slide I wanted to kind of share with, because when you travel in Europe, I feel like there's always crazy stories that happen in Europe. And so this was our kind of fun, crazy story. Is right there on the left, you can see it's kind of hard to see, it says Hotel Limmenhof Hotel or something like that, and it's a hotel. And so as you can see, the right upper hand picture is a picture of the city, and the picture is at night. I would venture to say it's about 2 o'clock in the morning, and there's no one out. And so what happened is really funny. We go down to Lucerne for the day, and it's about the middle of the southernmost parts of Switzerland, and she lives in Utzwil, which is in St. Gallen, which is in the northeastern part. And so we're at opposite ends of the country. It's a small country, so you can travel around, especially by train, and that's what we did most of the time. And so we traveled down there by train, and we hung out at this city for a while, and it was getting to be nighttime, and so we had some pizza. And the cool thing about Lucerne is that it's right by Italy, and so it's an Italian type town. It's in Switzerland still, but they all speak Italian, and they have Italian restaurants. And so, what better thing to get while we're in the closest we're going to get to Italy, but pizza? And so we got a pie, I think they're called there, and it was amazing. And so that was about what, 10 o'clock at night, and so we take a bus back to the train station. We take a train up to the main part where there's the central train station there, and we're going to take a train back up to Utzwil. About this time, though, we hadn't been paying the closest attention to time, and it was 12 o'clock when we got there, 12 o'clock at night. And unbeknownst to us, the trains stop running at 12 o'clock at night. So we got there, and they told us we couldn't get a train. The last one had gone for the night. It was 12 o'clock at night. It's Switzerland, and it's freezing in Switzerland, and it's snowing. And we don't have any place to go because they tell us we can't stay in the train station. So that's our view, the top right. There's an empty train station. That's where we were. We go up to the top right picture, and there's an empty city, and we're walking around the 13 of us with Tabby, and we have no clue what we're going to do because it's 12 o'clock at night, nothing's open, it's freezing, and we are literally just walking around the city hoping to find something. And we had no clue. We really were in a spot where it was really cold. We really needed to get inside. And we decided that we were going to sing some worship songs and pray because, we're in Bible college. No, I'm just kidding. We decided that we were just going to let the Lord handle it. And it was really cool because the Lord started really bonding us together just as a group. And we gave it completely up to Him. We had no clue. It was really, I can't stress enough, it was really cold. And we're going to let Him take care of it. And lo and behold, we found this open hostel. It says hotel. I think it was a hostel, though. And we walked in, and we asked the guy, we're going to get a train out at 5 o'clock. By now it's, 2 o'clock in the morning, maybe. And we asked the guy, we need a room. We don't have a lot of money. We're going to take a train at 5 o'clock, so we're only going to be here for a few hours. It's not even going to be for the night. And first, the guy was like, no, not only the fact that we didn't have that much money, there was 12 of us, and their rooms are only like 5 people at the most to a room, and we definitely cannot afford more than one room. And so we keep talking to him, and eventually he gives us a room, And it was awesome. We were so thankful. And we had a room for, we only rented it for like 3 hours, and 12 of us piled into this little room in Switzerland. And it was really sweet, because once we got in there, it, I don't know what time it was, 3:30 in the morning, and all we did was share. We got in a circle, and we kind of opened up our Bibles, and we're sharing with each other, you know, what the Lord had been showing us, and sharing with each other different prayer requests. And so it was, I mean, it was sweet. It was such an intimate time of fellowship in a city none of us were familiar with. Even Tabby wasn't, because she's not from that region of the country. So in a city none of us were familiar with, in a hotel that it was only by the Lord we got to rent for a few hours. And it was cool, because we used the time to just praise the Lord and fellowship with each other. And so it was really, really sweet. So that was kind of the funny story. We got stranded in Zurich, Switzerland, and had no clue what to do. And then the Lord provided, so it was awesome. And there's another picture. We were in trains a lot. That's the main way of transportation in Switzerland, is through trains. And they're really a cool way to travel. I never really rode trains here in the States. And that's how everyone gets around in Switzerland. Usually, mainly because there's so much snow. It's just impossible to drive half the time. And now, this is the last picture. It's a great shot of my beard and hair, and that's where I was at. And so this is on the plane to Israel, and it was really cool, because me and my friend Sage, on the far hand right nearest to the window, got to sit in between a secular Jew. And so we got to share with him for about 4 hours and talk with him and have a pretty captive audience. And so it was really cool. The guy ended up being super interesting, which I think you'll find with most people you meet and start talking to, is, I mean, this guy was, he was coming from India designing, like, infrared radar systems for their government. I mean, the dude was brilliant, and didn't really know much about his Torah, or wasn't very religious, as he kept telling us, but, you know, we got to share with him and from Jeremiah 31 and passages in Isaiah 53, and so it was really sweet. It was a really cool time, and this was on the plane to Israel. So now there's the second section, is being in Israel. This was coming into Israel, flying in. A lot of people told me about how there's kind of this feeling, this kind of excitement or something. A lot of people had trouble explaining it to me, is when you're coming into Israel and you're seeing this place for the first time, and it was cool. It was really something that was hard to explain, because I mean, it's just like your first time. It's a completely new experience, but at the same time, it's almost like it's not a new experience, because this place, I mean, I've read about this place my whole life, you know. This is the place where God himself chose to dwell when he came as a man. And so it's obviously, for many different reasons, an incredibly special place. And it's something to where it was like, it was new and it was kind of exciting, but then at the same time, it almost had a familiar feel to it as I came in, and it was amazing. It was right, we flew into Tel Aviv, and so it's like there's the Mediterranean, and then there's this beautiful landscape of Israel, and it's so like plush in the Mediterranean area and so green. And I mean, even just aesthetically, it's beautiful, and you just want to look at it from the sky for so long. And that's what we got to do, and that's what we flew in. A couple of these pictures are really cool, just in this slide. Is that if you were here Wednesday night, Pastor Steve talked about Absalom's pillar, how it has nothing to do with Absalom, but that's what it's named. I found that to be true with a lot of places in Israel. There's a lot of places named after people that it has nothing to do with from the Bible. And so that was kind of interesting. And so that's us. There's a little rope we could use to climb up into Absalom's tower, and we did that. And on the right, top hand picture is at the Israeli Museum, and then I found out it was actually a replica, which was kind of disappointing. But it's they have though a bone, and there's a nail through it, and it is from an actual crucifixion. And so they found and were able to prove that the Romans crucified people through this bone that was found with a nail in it. So that was really awesome. And on the left is the Kotel, the western wall. And on the right, top-hand side, is going to be at the Temple Mount, and I'll talk about more about them individually. The western wall was a pretty sweet place. It is different because it was... the point of it is that the Jews will go there to pray, and they go there specifically because it's as close as they can get to the Temple Mount, because the Temple Mount now is run by Muslims, and since they can't get up there, they'll go to this temple, this western wall, which is just a retaining wall of the Temple Mount. So it's not even a wall of the Temple Mount, it's a retaining wall. So it's kind of just like the wall that holds up the actual wall to the Temple Mount. And so that's what they go to, and there's all these little papers that that Jewish people will put into it of their prayers, and you will see a lot of people crying or a lot of people just up against it, you know, kissing it or just kind of being as close to it as they can get because they think that it's as close as they can get to the Holy of Holies. So while we were in Jerusalem, which is where I stayed for the 3 months, that was our home base, is right inside the old city walls, right inside Jaffa Gate specifically, but every day we had class. And so class was really cool because we went through the life of Christ. It was in 4 different blocks. And we looked at from Jesus' birth to Jesus' resurrection and ascension into heaven. Every time we came up to something that we could look at within the 4 Gospels, is because we went through each Gospel too, like paralleled and looked at each different situation that Jesus was in or a place that he was at, and so we'd go to those places as we were learning about them. And it was really awesome because since the Mount of Olives was so close, that was a large portion of, you know, Jesus' teaching, and so we got to go there quite a lot, and that was really sweet. We had class normally every day in a Alliance Church, which is an Arab Christian church, which is in the Christian quarter, and so there's kind of explain how there's 4 different quarters within the old city. There's the Christian quarter, which we were staying in. There's the Muslim quarter. There's the Armenian quarter, and then there's the Jewish quarter. And so this was in the Christian quarter, and it was a really just small little building. The picture on the top right was at the Garden Tomb. We had class there one day, and then at the bottom was a class we had a couple times on the Mount of Olives. So this is the Temple Mount. And the Temple Mount was... we only went up there once. And we were going to go up there, and we didn't even get to go up there the time that we were originally going to. We were going to go up there on a Friday. Well, Friday is the day you definitely never want to go up there because that's when the Muslims have their call to prayer. And so that's like the Sunday for Muslims, I guess. And there was stuff going on the first day we were going to go up there, some rock throwing, and which turned out to be, I guess, a pretty regular thing within the Muslim community there. And so we ended up going up there a different day, and I kind of took a picture on the far right. Those were riot shields that were handy and ready to go and looked like they'd been well used. And so the other 2 pictures are of the Dome of the Rock. And it's funny that I got the Dome of the Rock because what I learned pretty soon after being there was that when you look at Israel, the Dome of the Rock, at Jerusalem specifically, the Dome of the Rock is what you'll see. You know, it's kind of the big thing, the cool thing to look at. And it's Muslim. What I didn't realize at first is that that's not the holy place. You know, that's not like, that's not the very holy site for the Muslims. There's a mosque to the, from that picture, it would be, from the one, the picture on the left and right, it would be behind me. And it's called the Al-Aqsa Mosque. And that's the third holiest site in Islam. And so that was kind of something interesting I learned. I wasn't aware of that. The gates, these are, I wanted to get a picture. I didn't even get all the gates. I wanted to get a couple more gates and pictures. But these were the three that were kind of the most interesting. The one on the left is Jaffa Gate. And that's the gate that we lived closest to. Right from where I'm taking the picture, I'm actually taking the picture from the top of my hotel. We stay in a New Imperial, and I'll have pictures of that in the next slide. But the picture of the gate on the top right is the Eastern Gate. And that was something I kind of wanted to talk about, because there's different stories as to, you know, there's different stories. You'll find that there's, everyone has a different story for something in Israel. But the story that I heard was that it, you can see it's blocked off when you look in the Bible and you see when Jesus comes back and touches on the Mount of Olives, is he supposed to come down and go through the Eastern Gate to the Temple Mount. So what the Muslims did in control of the Temple Mount is they completely block that gate off. It's all stone. And that there's a Muslim cemetery all along that side of the wall, that eastern side of the wall, and directly in front of that gate. And the story I heard was that the purpose of it was to stop Jesus from doing that, basically. And as if Jesus had to go through the cemetery, their thinking is that he would become unclean. And then also blocking it off, That just kind of stumps me as to why they would think that would stop Jesus. But the one on the run right below it is Damascus Gate. It's called Damascus Gate because it's facing towards Syria and Damascus. And that goes into the Muslim quarter, which we got to go in and out. It's kind of like the outskirt of the Muslim quarter. If here's the Muslim quarter, Damascus Gate's right about here, right? The outskirts of it. So technically it was in the Muslim quarter, and it really wasn't that bad, you know, because obviously the first thing you think about is safety being in a Muslim quarter, but it wasn't. It was quiet. You just walk through. Well, it wasn't quiet. There was a lot of people, but you just walk through. There's never really any concerns or fears for safety. There's quite a few IDF, like the IDF presence, the Israel Defense Force, there's a lot of them there, and they kind of kept the peace, and the whole 3 months were really a quiet 3 months. And this is I'm glad I got this picture. I was kind of proud of myself, because the top right, starting with the top right, it's kind of not the best as far as put together, because it's almost like a puzzle. The top right is my hotel. That's the New Imperial, and that's where we stayed. And then when you, if you're looking at it, you're going to the right, but the picture that's on the left is to the right of it. So you're kind of going like that and then starting over and going like this. Okay, so there's the New Imperial, and then looking to the right, you go along, and then that there's a little road down there that goes in back to the Jewish quarter. That's the Christian Study Center, is the building on the right-hand side. Let's see. I have a laser, actually. That's the Christian Study Center, and that's where we got to. That's what we did, is we studied there. And as you keep going, it goes along, and you can see that's about how close we were to the Temple Mount. Is the Temple Mount's right over there. And a little bit further, and you would have seen the Christ Church, which is an Anglican church, right there in the Old City. It's the oldest Protestant church in the Middle East. And that was where we spent a lot of time helping them out, kind of ministering to them and being more of a practical help to that church. So that was really cool, because we got to build a lot of relationships with the people there and see that Anglicans love the Lord too, and they're it was interesting kind of being around a denomination like that and just seeing that, you know, there's lots of other people all over the world and in different styles of churches too that love the Lord, and it was really kind of mind-opening. I knew that, but it was interesting getting to see that for myself, is that just a different kind of church, a different way of doing church, and it was really cool to see that. And this was my favorite. Of all the kind of experiences I got to have in Israel, I've thought about it because there's been quite a few, and I keep going back to this one. And we had Easter there in the Garden Tomb. And the Garden Tomb was interesting because it's one of the sites, they say, for where Jesus could have been buried. But most people would agree that it's not the, it's probably not the actual site. The actual site would be, most people would say, is the Holy Sepulchre. Looking at different maps and history, and that's how they get that. But it was my favorite site. This is where I would like to think that Jesus was buried and then raised again. And so on to the right of the picture, you can't see it because of where I was sitting, but there's a hole in the rock, and it's supposed to be the tomb, and there's a big, huge, circular stone rolled away, and they have a big old sign there that says, he's not here, he's not risen. And so there was a joke that it was the only place, or the place where the most people would want to come to not see somebody. And so we were there, and it was really cool because it was on Easter. This is the day that we celebrate Jesus rising from the dead, and it was packed. The picture really can't say enough as far as there was over 1,000 people here in this garden. And we went to the sunrise service, so we got up really early and walked over, and it definitely was the most incredible experience of Israel for me, because I'm there, I'm worshiping the Lord with over 1,000 other people I've never met, I'll never see again, and it's always my favorite to worship through music in a large setting, in a large group setting. And a lot of people say, well, you know, I like the more intimate, smaller settings. But it's really not the case with me, because the one of the things I think about is that I'm going to be with millions and millions of Christians in heaven, right? And we're all going to be praising the Lord, and I'm not going to ever have met them or have known them. But we're all there in one accord, worshiping our Creator. And that's, I get the feeling that that was just a snippet of like what that's going to be like, you know, just such a large group setting, worshiping Jesus, and it was awesome. It was so awesome, and that was at the Garden Tomb, and the Garden Tomb's actually located outside the city walls, unlike the Holy Sepulchre, but that's because the walls have changed throughout history as far as the old Jerusalem in the Bible times. And so it's, you go out the Muslim quarter, go across the street, and to behind me, you would see the place that would be associated with Calvary, and it's a mountain, and it was kind of disenchanting, and I think for a lot of people that actually saw the pictures, because there's a big old bus station right in front of it. I mean, it's supposed to be this awesome place, and actually, I think it was a Muslim-run bus station, and so they have a big old bus station, so you can't really go up there because there's a bus station there, but you could still see it. So this is in our hotel life. We had a whole wing of the hotel, which is really cool because we got to have a, throughout the different semesters before, we've been really blessed to have a good witness with the hotel manager. His name's Mr. Dejani, and he's very like respected and prominent man within the community, which was interesting, and we found that out later on because so many people knew him, and everyone that knew him had nothing but great things to say about him. He's a good man, he's a good man, is what they tell us. And so we have a whole wing of the hotel, and That's the main pictures down the hallway as you walk in, and there's on the right is where the director would stay, on the left is where the director would stay, on the right is there's a kitchen, and you keep going down, and if you kept going down, there'd be another room on the left, and that was the girls' room. And there's only 6 girls. There's 18 guys and 6 girls, so made it kind of easy as far as being sure we were walking with a girl because there's so few of them. And then there's another room, which one guy slept in, and then there was 2 rooms on the right. There was the first one, had, 4, 5, 6, 7 people in it, 7 guys, and then the room I was in was the back, far right one. And there was 4, there's 2 bunk beds, and then you walk into another even smaller room, and there's 1 bunk bed, and I was on the bottom bunk, and there's a guy named Ryan who was on the top bunk right above me, and then you kept having to walk through, and there'd be a little bathroom. And so it was really, actually got, and I'd say, one of the sweeter setups because there's so few guys, so there's a lot less noise when you're trying to sleep. And the bathroom was right there. So it was pretty nice. And on the right, top-hand side, we played a lot of Gin Rummy during some downtime because I think another kind of disenchanting thing is that we weren't constantly adventuring all 3 months. There were times we did spend in the hotel, but they were actually all cool times because we spent it together. And the middle one, the black and white picture, we were holding up pizza. I don't know if you can tell. One of the guys we have a relationship through past semesters with this guy named Jacob, and he has a pizza shop right below the hotel. And every night at 11, it was usually me, because I love pizza, would go down at about 11 o'clock at night, and he would give us all his leftover pizza. He'd fill us up with sacks sometimes of pizza, and just, here you go. And I'd take it, and we had a lot of pizza, and it was great. It was one of the cooler parts about staying in that hotel and knowing that guy. Okay, this next slide is going to have a video on it, and this is also a really cool experience, too. We're walking around Jaffa Gate, or Jaffa Street, it's outside the old city. There's a lot more younger people, more of a younger vibe to it. There's music playing, and it's like a city street. And it was Memorial Day. And what Israel does on Memorial Day to commemorate, their soldiers, every a siren goes off, I think twice that day. 2 times that day, a siren went off for about 2 minutes. And Israel stops. The country stops, right? There's people. I didn't get a video of it. I was actually really bummed. I got a video of it, but it was a bad video. People will stop their cars. The streets will just be, they'll look like this huge traffic jam because everyone stops their cars, gets out of their car, and stands for 2 minutes. Right? People walking down the street, which is the video I have. This is a busy street. It's like it's actually like a Tuesday night, and it's about 10 o'clock at night, but it's a busy street. There's a lot of people walking around, and people stop. They stop and don't move for 2 minutes as the siren goes off, and that's how they pay respect to their soldiers. And so I kind of wanted to explain that so you know what you're seeing. It was actually really kind of creepy, and you'll see why as I play the video. Okay, so as soon as the siren goes off, they just start walking like normal. And so that was the kind of creepy part to it, because you're walking around and all of a sudden the siren starts to go off. You're like, what is this siren? And people freeze. You're like, what's happening right now? This is really, it was like the Twilight Zone or something. Just people just... and just froze, you know? That's what it felt like. I mean, they just stood there. And so that was actually, that was like the last 10 seconds of it. But it had been going on before I thought to, hey, maybe I should document this. And so this is, I wanted to talk about this part, this slide, the different culture. Because in Israel, you'll find that the Jews really, really like to party and like to have a fun time and celebrate just about everything. So the one on the top right-hand side, it's a small picture, but if you had a better picture of it and could see it up closer, we're all dressed up. And that was for Purim. Purim celebrates the story of Ruth, Esther. Thank you. Celebrates the story of Esther. And so what we did is we all dressed up. We went over to Christ Church, and Christ Church, the people there put on a play. They dressed up as, you know, Mordecai. They dressed up as the king. They dressed up as Esther. And they reenacted the story of Esther. So it was really, really cool. And then we walked outside the old city, went down Jaffa Street, and there's music. Everyone's dressed up. It's fun. The middle one is another small picture, which is hard to see, but we're celebrating Seder. It's the Passover, and we're having the Seder meal. And that was really cool because the guy that led it for us, he actually is a Messianic Jew. And so it was really kind of special to see a Jew lead us in this dinner celebrating Passover. And it is ridiculous how many symbolic things within this meal point to Jesus. Okay, one of the things they do is they take three pieces of unleavened bread, which are like crackers, and there's three of them, right? And they put them in this cloth so you can't see the three pieces of unleavened bread. And what they do is everyone will close their eyes. The father that will have his family close their eyes, he'll take out the middle piece, right? The middle piece of these three pieces of bread, and he'll hide it somewhere in the room. His family will then open their eyes and search the entire house, their entire house, for this piece of bread. They'll find it, and they'll bring it back to the father, and the father will give him like a couple shekels or something, and he'll buy back that piece of bread. And then that piece of bread goes back into the three pieces. It goes right back into the middle. And so what it is it's a picture of Jesus coming out, finding us, redeeming us back to the Father. And that's what they do every year. That's what the Jews will do and celebrate. And it was really interesting to see, because for us it's so obvious. I mean, it slaps us in the face how obvious it is, and they don't see it, you know. The bottom picture to the right is one of, this is actually during one of the last week, and this is really interesting. At the Western Wall, there had just been a law passed, I think just recently, that the women can't pray with the men. You know, as far as there's a separation, but then they couldn't wear their prayer shawls, and something within the rabbis decided that this was a good idea, and this was, you know, within the Torah. And so a lot of the women were really upset about that, and it was ridiculous, and it was very Islam-esque as far as making this much separation and with the women and the men. And so the women protested, and so that's what that kind of picture is right there. As we were walking down to go to the Mount of Olives to have a class for that day, and we walked through this huge crowd, and people were just mad, and there was police, and we were trying to push through, and the police stopped us, and the guy that was leading it was actually, his name was David. He was the head rector of the Christ Church, and so he kind of let him know what was happening, and so we were just trying to kind of pull through. Everyone was just kind of upset. There wasn't any, like, rioting or type stuff. But that was kind of interesting because, you know, you can see that there's a lot of similarities within as far as women's rights and them trying to be able to pray and worship alongside with the men. And so then we have food, and food was really good. That's shawarma. One of the things I just wanted to share really quickly was that it was really cool because we all ate together every night, whereas other groups in past semesters would have little groups they'd buy just for themselves and eat at different times. We all apparently liked each other so much that we would have a group every night. At the beginning of the week, we'd go and just buy a mass amount of food. We all put our money together. And every night throughout the week, we would make a big dinner, and we'd all eat with each other. And that was a really sweet, cool thing that we did all semester long. And it was really cool. It brought us really close together. And then we went into travel weeks. I'm going to go through these probably a little bit quicker. We went to the Dead Sea, and I have a verse, and it's from Ezekiel 47:8. It says, "The water flows toward the eastern region and goes down to the Arabah, where it enters the Dead Sea, and when it empties into the Dead Sea, the salty water there will become fresh." And this is talking about after Jesus comes, this Dead Sea that is 30% salt that hurts if you, I know by experience, if you get it anywhere near your face, on your tongue or your eyes, it'll burn because of the salt content is so high. And we put mud, there's mud at the bottom, and we can put mud all over, and you rub it all over, and then you wash it off, and then your skin feels amazing, and you just want to rub yourself because it feels so good and you're so smooth. We went to En Gedi, and this is where David hid. It talks about in 1 Samuel 24 where David hid when he was running from Saul. And I've been telling people that En Gedi was like Palm Canyon on steroids. It was awesome. The waterfalls were bigger, the water was nicer, and there was a lot of pools you could swim in, and it was really sweet. We went to the Jordan River, and if you can see that, that's a picture of my Bible. It says Israel crosses the Jordan, and then the Jordan is right on the other side. And so I didn't get baptized in the Jordan, but I had a few friends that did, and it was really cool. We also went to Caesarea Maritime, which this is a place that wasn't as big in the Bible, but Herod the Great had actually built quite a few awesome things there. As most of us know, Herod the Great was pretty famous for his building, and he built on the top right a huge theater. And that theater was able to hold over 3,000 people. And then right below it is a pool that is actually fed by the Mediterranean Sea. And the Mediterranean Sea is just, the whole place was beautiful. And we also went to the Valley of Elah. And the Valley of Elah is most famous for when David fought Goliath. He fought him, the Philistines gathered on one side and the Israelites gathered on the other side. And Goliath had been calling him out. And David was the only one brave enough to go and face him. It was also cool because I got a few rocks from the Brook of Elah. And so I am convinced that one of them was used by David to kill Goliath. Most people don't believe me, but I'm pretty sure it's one of them that I have. I also bought a little sling, too, back in Jerusalem. That was cool. I'm going to practice my slingshot. And so the thing about traveling week is that we were in Jerusalem the majority of the time, and we had two separate weeks where we did the traveling thing, and we went to different places. The first week, that was where we went the first week, and this is the second week. We went to down south the first week, to the Dead Sea, southern area of Israel, and now we went to the northern area of Israel. And so this is Nazareth Village. And Nazareth Village was super cool because it's within a modern city. There's the city of Nazareth, which is still around, and it's pretty modern. But then within it, there's this big area called Nazareth Village. And all the people dress up like they would in Bible times and do like work like they would in Bible times. And so there's guys working on wood. There's women that were stringing yarn. And it was pretty... It is pretty cool because, I mean, there were shepherds, and we got to, like, see, I think it was probably pretty accurate of how they dressed, you know. It's at least what you would imagine. Then we went to Katzrin, and Katzrin was at the beginning of the trip, and we went there for 2 days. And we had been doing homework and tests and writing papers all semester long, and so it was really sweet because the director wanted us, was having a heart to just give us a couple days of retreat. And so that's what Katzrin was. Katzrin was like, it kind of reminded me of Borrego and the fact that it was just a little tight community, and it was really kind of tight. It was really picturesque. Everywhere you look, there, it was a really beautiful city, nice houses, nice streets. There's a river running through the town. And we hiked up a hill, and we saw a couple houses that were riddled with bullets. We didn't ask how that came to happen. We didn't care to find out. And we also found a rocket in the basement. So we didn't stay there too long. And we also found a waterfall. I found a waterfall, actually. Me and my friend were going, and though he liked to take the credit, in all honesty, I did find it. So everyone got to benefit because of my adventuring and skills. We went to Capernaum, and if you're wondering why it's spelled so awkwardly at the bottom, it's because on the picture to the left, that is how they spelled it. And so the verse is from Matthew 4:13, and says, leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum. And so this is the area where Jesus would have stayed during his ministry. It's pretty special. It's right on the Sea of Galilee. And then the top right house is where they say Simon Peter would have lived. This is the Valley of Megiddo. Verses from Revelation 16:16. They gathered the kings together to the place that is in Hebrew called Armageddon. And so we were on top of this hill, and we could look down and see this big, huge valley. And the saying is that it looks like a great place to have a war. And my director was kind of cool, put an interesting thought. He said he wanted to get in a plane someday and skydive out into the valley as kind of like a picture of what it'll be like as far as when we come down with Jesus and he just starts slaughtering people and we're just coming down behind him. And so that was kind of funny about that place. It was really cool. It was a really great view. And then we were on the Sea of Galilee, and this was also a really special time too. Jesus went out to them, and he walked on this water, and so we all kind of were daring each other to try and jump out of the boat and see if one of us could walk like Peter, but we didn't have the faith. And so on the right side, we were there for half a day, and then the day, and we went banana boating, and that was pretty fun, just being on the water. And on the left is a picture. We went out before the sun rose and had a time of worship and reading through the Bible as we were on the Sea of Galilee as the sun was rising. And it was a very special time as well. And so then at the end of that, we had about a week left, and the week was pretty busy. We were writing papers, we were finishing classes, we were finishing homework, and that kind of summed up my trip as far as we got along really well. We made really close and tight relationships with each other. We learned about the Lord. We got to pray and eat together every night and live life together. And we got to go to all these incredibly special places. And that guy I'm with is actually, his name was Abdullah. He's a Muslim guy that I got to sit with and hang out with a few mornings in a row. He liked to go out and sit in the morning. And so I'd go out and sit with him, and we'd eat a pastry together. It's been really interesting for me and kind of bittersweet, because not only am I coming back from Israel, and you know, not only was I leaving Israel, I was leaving Bible college. You know, it's kind of a season of my life was coming to an end, and it was actually really hard. It was something I hadn't expected, because it was comfortable, yes, but I also really enjoyed it and loved being in Bible college. And there's a thought process that has stuck in my mind for a long time as I was kind of just thinking about the overall experience of Bible college and what the Lord has done in my life, has laid on my heart, has worked about in me. And there's three verses, and they kind of go, they follow step by step with each other. And this is what I wanted to share about, because I spent a little over 5 months in my devotions going through Hebrews, and I wanted to share each verse from Hebrews. And the first verse was Hebrews 4:11. And it says, "Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall, according to the same example of disobedience." And so entering into the rest was the first thing. Resting in Jesus, you know, kind of the whole stop your works, put your faith in Jesus thing, but resting in Jesus. The next one was Hebrews 4:15. And so resting in Jesus is a hard thing to do, and so we have an encouragement in verse 15. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." And so we know that while it can be really hard to follow Jesus and to go where he tells us to go, Jesus can sympathize with us as he became man. And so that's really encouraging. And the result of this, the result of us resting in Jesus, Jesus being able to sympathize with us, is I wanted to share the last verse of Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. And it says, "Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them." And so learning about Jesus, us resting in him, him sympathizing with us, him making intercession for us, our salvation is secure. We have a sure thing in Christ, and it's the solid rock that I stand on. It's that blessed assurance. It's that anchor that holds the soul, right? Is hold on to Jesus. And that's really what I wanted to kind of end with. And thank you guys, for supporting me so much, because it took a lot off my parents, and my parents supported me so much too. And going to Bible college is a cool thing, because you meet people, you learn the Bible for 2 years, and then you come out and you're like, well, what's next? At least for me, because I'm in a position of what's next, is what am I going to do next? And that thought process of rest in Jesus, and he can sympathize with us. He's able to save to the uttermost, and he's always making intercession for us. And it's been really bittersweet, and it's almost been kind of hard, because I loved Bible college so much. And it's a new time. I'm going to be graduating Thursday, which I'm really excited about. And I'm going to be coming into a new time in my life. And so what I want to do is encourage you guys, majority of you have been following Jesus much longer than I have, and so I'm really excited to be here now for a while and be back with you, and gleaning off you and building relationships even stronger and deeper with you. And so that's my encouragement, is to even from a younger brother that is still has so much to learn, is that to keep following Jesus. And that's really what he's taught me the most, is rest in the Lord. He loves you. Give your cares to him, because he cares for us. And so I just want to pray. And again, thank you guys for supporting me for so long, and with your prayers and through giving money. And so, Father, thank you so much. What else can we say but thank you, Lord? We love you. We continue to pray to come quickly. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, like we're told to in the Bible, and just ask that, as that's such a special city, that you would bring about peace and salvation to the Jews and the Arabs there, Lord. So many Arab people that do know you, and so many Arab people that don't know you, Lord, all the Muslims and the Jews and all the different kinds of people that are there. Just ask that you bring about peace, and most importantly, bring about salvation. We love you, Lord, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.